Okay, we will start our meeting with the moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crawford, would you like to call the roll, please?
Certainly, we have Eric Davidson.
Here.
Mike Hill.
Here.
Sonia Hurt.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Present.
Karina Higgins requested to be excused.
I make a motion to excuse.
I second.
Motion by Lopez and Hurst to excuse Karina. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That is carried 5-0. Okay. First part of our meeting will be the oath of office for our new chief of police. Whereas the Seafarers Memorial at Bladen Harbor was established in 1984 to promote community awareness in memory of fishers and other sailors who departed Whatcom County safe harbors and were lost at sea, and whereas the community of Bladen, Washington continues in its concern of the safety and welfare of its seagoing ships and their crews, and whereas the fisher's life is burdened with hazards and difficulties unknown to most of us, and whereas strength and courage are basic requirements for anyone who chooses to work on the high seas, battling the elements in order to harvest nature's bounty. And whereas the men and women who work on boats, living between God and sea, and never certain which will claim them first, are deserving of our respect and our gratitude. And whereas when fishers do lose their lives, their deaths impact the tightly knit fabric of this and all communities. And whereas the citizens who constitute a Blaine Community Chamber of Commerce Committee dedicated to preservation, enhancement, and promotion of the Seafarers Memorial have planned a service for the blessing of the fleet at Blaine Harbor. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that the community of Blaine and I, Mary Lou Stewart, Mayor of the City of Blaine, Washington, extend our heartfelt thoughts and prayers to the families and friends of the men and women claimed by the city, and wish the entire commercial fishing fleet a safe and prosperous season, and pray that all fishing men and women will return safely home to their loved ones. And I do hereby proclaim May 1st, 2024 as Blessing of the Fleet's Day.
It's actually May the 5th, but that's
what they do. Thank you very much for coming. I will see you on May the 5th.
Yeah, you'll be there. Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, moving on. We will have a presentation by the Deputy County Executive, Ira Schroeder, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, good evening, Council. Tyler Schroeder, Deputy Executive of Washington County. We have a presentation today. Let's see if I can figure any slides out. Here we go. The Executive Sidhu intended to be here today, but he and a contingent from Washington County are in Ohio taking a look at a correctional facility, correctional and behavioral health facility. And we're here to give an update on the Justice Project and the financial agreement that will be coming in front of Blaine City Council in the next council meeting. We've been giving this presentation to the Whatcom County Council, the Bellingham City Council. Last week we were in front of the Ferndale City Council, London, and now Blaine. And the intent is to go over a first year update, talk about the policy frameworks, recognize the financial framework, discuss a little bit on the Finance Advisory Board, talk through the timeline for the 23-hour crisis relief center, and then talk about the timeline for the jail construction and behavioral care center. So an update on the first year strategies. Remember, this is a continuation of the public safety ballot measure that was passed in November of last year, approved by 63% of the constituents of Whatcom County, and passed by more than 50% in 171 and 174 precincts in Whatcom County. So it had broad support across the constituents and throughout Whatcom County. In the Justice Plan, there was 18 different strategies, and I wanted to just walk through quickly that we're moving forward with those 18 strategies. Establishing the advisory board, hiring a project manager for the crisis relief. We've acquired an approximately $250,000 grant to help the data dashboards and develop the justice data to have it open and transparent. Continue to look at workforce strategies, improve coordination, and then also added an FTE into the mental health board. We are increasing our capacity into the existing diversion programs, looking into post-overdose response models and the next phase of the diversion work, and then developing and continuing the strategies on housing partnerships or prosecutorial diversion programs. One of the successes from last year in this legislative cycle is we received $11.3 million from the legislature to build a crisis relief center, which will be really a behavioral health emergency room. Connect law enforcement and community paramedics and the alternative response team for a location to drop off individuals to help provide the support needed for those that are in crisis inside of the jail. We're working through additional treatment facilities. Lummi Nation was just awarded dollars for a secure withdrawal management facility. And we have increased transportation services. Supported housing needs assessment is in the process. We have looked towards adding additional housing specific for those that have been incarcerated to be able to provide housing throughout the continuum. Looking towards changes in the court system, which is a discussion with the Incarceration Prevention Reduction Task Force and the elected in the courts and the prosecuting attorney's office and public defense, and continue the state advocacy to ensure we have additional state funds to accomplish the behavioral health work. So backing up and talking a little bit on the policy framework, the big picture commitments that was in the ballot measure and in the justice implementation plan. Invest significantly in incarceration prevention programs using local, state, and federal funds. For a time frame of about 4 to 6 years, dedicate the city's public safety tax revenues and the county's public safety tax revenues to build a new jail that is adequately sized. After that 4 to 6 year period, dedicate 50% of the sales tax revenue to expanded incarceration prevention programs and services. All of these commitments are spelled out in the county ordinance that was passed in 23 and the associated justice project implementation plan. One of the big components that was discussed, especially from the cities, was to adequately size the jail facility. The size of the facility will be based on a fair analysis of jail use, booking, population growth. We'll also take into consideration strategic investments in incarceration reduction programs. Mayor Scott from Linden and others really wanted to ensure there's future expansion language in the agreement to develop a mechanism for additional bed capacities if the facility reaches 85% of operational capacity, and to ensure a public process for any of the capacity expansion. And then also work on protocols to utilize other county or regional jail facilities to accommodate bed needs, and protocols for the sheriff to discuss any booking restrictions on the facility as it's built. After the 4 to 6 year period and the construction of the jail is open, a minimum of 50% of the public safety sales tax will be used for countywide implementation plan strategies, such as the expansion of the incarceration programs, community-based behavioral health and substance use disorder treatment facilities, reentry programs, supportive housing, and diversion programs. That's where the financial agreement that's coming in front of the City Council in a few weeks shows the funding partnership. The RCW, the state law, allocates out the set public safety sales tax, a split 60% to the county and 40% to the cities. The city's portion is then allocated out by population share of the other cities. So Bellingham is anticipated to receive approximately 27%, and all of the other small cities' combined share is approximately 13%. The jail and behavioral health facility is anticipated to cost approximately $150 million. And the target debt service to accomplish this construction is approximately $6.3 million. If you hit that $6.3 million target in 6 years, that allows for 50% of the additional public safety tax to be used for incarceration prevention programs. Meeting these commitments require the city's financial participation and the jail construction costs as anticipated in the original ordinance and the letters that were sent from the cities to the county. Back in June of 2023, a letter signed by all 7 city mayors indicated that the cities were willing to fund virtually any new correctional facility, but one of the things that the cities need is capacity. It indicated that the cities will commit a portion of nearly all of their sales tax proceeds for that 4 to 6 years to drive the amount of something under $100 million. Take that $150 million capital project, drive it down with the early investment so that we're bonding somewhere around $100 million to meet that $6.3 million target. For this contribution, the cities expect no booking restrictions and no capital fees associated with the per diem. The agreement that will be proposed will not include a capital fee and indicates equal access for the cities as it relates to the jail facility and a collaboration with the sheriff on any booking restrictions as it moves forward. The authorizing ordinance from 23 commits all of Whatcom County's and the City of Bellingham's tax proceeds to implementation plan projects after this 6 year. Small cities can use the proceeds on any eligible public safety expense. So the ordinance indicated that the small cities, after the funding commitment for the jail, can use those dollars for public safety purposes. Future implementation plan, which is the base of the safety sales tax, will be developed with City of Bellingham input and all of the members that are on the Incarceration Prevention Reduction Task Force and the Finance Advisory Board. The interlocal stipulates consultation with an approval from the City of Bellingham for future implementation plans. That wasn't specifically indicated in the ordinance, but it was an important component of the City of Bellingham and the financial framework of the City of Bellingham's money being used for implementation plan strategies recognized the purpose of that consultation. So a little financial framework. The funding partnership from a snapshot for year one. In 2025, the county and the cities anticipate to receive about $14 million of public safety tax combined. The counties will contribute 100% towards jail capital. The cities will contribute 75% of their share towards jail capital or debt service. The City of Bellingham, which will have 25% left over, can use that share, about $950,000, to increase and continue their implementation plan strategies. And the small cities, the remaining 25% is approximately $450,000 or $500,000. So the City of Lane will be receiving a share of that revenue and can be used for public safety purposes in 2025 and beyond. Moving to year seven, so after the 4 to 6 year period, by 2031, we're anticipating approximately $17.5 million would be collected from sales tax. The county will contribute 60% of the county's revenue towards debt service, back to that $6.3 million mark. The county will then contribute the 40% towards implementation plan strategies, approximately $4.2 million a year. Bellingham will contribute 100% towards the implementation plan strategies to meet the 50% commitment. And the small city shares, which will be split up by population, is approximately in total $2.3 million. Cities will contribute zero towards the jail capital and debt service by the seventh or eighth year, because the upfront investment has identified a debt service that can be accomplished within the county's revenue. But the cities will have access to that facility for the 30-year term of the debt service. So in total, approximately $8.9 million by 2031 will be invested into the incarceration prevention programs. Some financial assumptions. So the cost of the jail facility, based on the square footage that we know, and approximately $600 to $650 a square foot. A capital construction cost will be $150 million. When you look at the assumptions that go in, these three items, the cost, the interest rate, and the sales tax revenue, are all unknown right now, but we have some anticipated amounts. So interest rates for municipal bonds are currently approximately 4.4%. And historical sales tax revenue growth in the county and a number of the different cities is approximately 4% annually. Recently, the county and some of the cities have seen a much higher growth in sales tax revenue based on destination sales tax and probably different spending habits after COVID. But we've used a conservative historical sales tax growth of 4% for these projections. The agreement recognizes that true capital costs will be known by 2026. And the interlocal agreement that the council will be considering is flexible to respond to the actuals on the cost, on the interest rate, and on the sales tax growth. And then we'll spread those impacts equitably between the county and the
the cities.
When you look at this, sales tax growth will likely be around 4%. The interest rates, if the feds do their job, may be a little lower by 2026. And if one of those two, either sales tax is larger or interest rates go down a little bit, the financial framework is still very healthy as it moves forward. So this is just a visualization of the funding commitments. The green is the jail and behavioral health facility. It's larger in those first 6-year periods because we're all going to invest into the capital construction. And then it's stable as it moves forward for the next 30 years because that's the $6.3 million commitment. The gray and the blue is the expanded dollars for public safety purposes, and that as well as incarceration prevention and reduction programs. So a little status on the interlocal. Executive Sabu sent the interlocal to all 7 city mayors today and forwarded a copy to the county council. We've been doing this presentation to all of the councils in the month of April, and to answer any questions, give any framework associated with it. And compliments go to the mayors of Whatcom County, because we've been having these conversations at the mayor's meetings for the last many months, and really the collaboration has been shown throughout that process. And the commitments that were in the ordinance in the original letters are in the agreement that the council will be considering. It's anticipated that the cities and the county will take action on their first meeting in May. Well, the county council anticipates to take action on May 7th. And it's important to accomplish an agreement prior to June. June is the date that the Department of Revenue will start to allocate out or remit the sales tax that's already being collected to the cities. So the agreements need to be in place of the funding commitments of the 75% revenue upfront for the capital construction before the first revenue is distributed by the Department of Revenue. Just a brief discussion on the advisory board. Open and transparent decision making associated with the cost, the funding commitments, and the facility will happen at the Finance and Facility Advisory Board. This will provide oversight on the funds that are being collected. It'll take input from the task force and the councils, and we'll work closely with the executive and the mayors to develop a spending plan. Small cities have elected representation on that advisory board. And as well as council members, the sheriff, the Bellingham police chief, and a few other individuals, one from a representative from the behavioral health system, and another that has an individual lived experience in the criminal justice system. One of the investments that the county has made a commitment on before the construction of the jail facility is expansion of our crisis and behavioral health facilities. So back in 2017, the county started and is opened a 32-bed crisis stabilization center. 16 beds are for mental health individuals, and 16 beds are for chemical-dependent individuals to help provide services to them. And we've moved forward with the planning and soon-to-be construction of the crisis relief center. That facility will be located in Division Street in North Bellingham in the Iron Gate area, which that area where the existing 32-bed crisis stabilization center will really become kind of a behavioral health campus and connect in with law enforcement and community paramedics and case managers associated with our alternative response teams that are being provided countywide. We're hoping and anticipating, and on schedule today, to have that facility open by mid-2026. As it relates to jail construction, the financial agreements are allowing the county to move forward in the passage of the public safety tax to start the design committee and consultant work in 2024 to determine the size and the type of facility for both the jail and the behavioral health center. And then design development and construction plans will be the work that happens in 2025. We're anticipated groundbreaking in 2026 with construction and opening by 2028. This is a representation, a visual representation of the framework that is in the public safety tax that was passed. It shows the implementation plan and needs assessment for the justice project. It's looking towards improvements in community health, both behavioral health, supporting children and families, identifying housing and homeless prevention, looking towards the prevention and reduction by providing a response system countywide, by looking into changes in the courts and the Medicaid, identifying diversion options that we're already making investments into, and then providing services across the continuum with reentry support for those that have been incarcerated and provide connection and restoration for those individuals. To accomplish that system, you need facilities. And so the jail and behavioral health treatment center is the main focus of the facilities. But you also need to be able to provide way station-like facilities, which is in the city of Ellingham, a 23-hour crisis care and behavioral stabilization and additional housing. And a framework surrounding that to have that increased health and safety and be able to provide some data and measurements. We need accountability, data inclusion, and transparency. So that's a framework of the implementation plan. I know that the city administration has a copy of the financial framework. I provided this update to the county council, and I believe this is the fourth city council. And again, I just appreciate the input that we've gotten from the city mayors and the commitments from the city councils throughout the community to accomplish the financial framework that was a baseline of the ordinance that was passed by 2023, and a commitment by the cities that sent letters of support associated with. Available for any questions that may be around. Thank you.
Any questions to Mr. Schroeder? Obviously, you made it very, very clear there aren't any questions.
Yeah, that sounds good. Between now and then, don't hesitate to reach out to me, Mayor or Mike, if you have any questions, and we'll be able to get the agreements ready for City Council consideration.
Thank you very much, Tyler, for all the work that you've put into this and for coming here this evening to give us this presentation.
Yeah, thank you.
Richard, sorry, did you?
No, I had a point of order for the next item. Would the public hearing be limited to specifically to the one specific item and then only?
Yes.
So public testimony can only be directly relevant to this specific item?
That is correct.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so moving on then, we have a public hearing. The public hearing is on a petition to vacate the east one half of Warren Avenue, abutting lot 16 through 23, inclusive block 16, plat of Mounts' first addition to Blaine, Washington. Mr. Gandhi is going to outline this for you, and then I will explain the protocol for the public hearing after he's done.
There's a little background on this petition. Ordinance 1139 in 1958 allowed Norma Rothwell. She was a petition, and we vacated 3/4 of the land from Mary's Avenue to the Clyde, and she didn't own 1/4 actually of the section. If you go on the east corner. So this is what we are requesting right now.
We are just requesting to the public hearing is for requesting a location of 1/4 of the east section of the Mary's Avenue, Warren Avenue.
I don't see the word Warren on the graphic.
This is what the Warren is considered as. Okay.
what we are looking to locate this one quarter of the section.
So Ward Avenue, is it similar to, I believe it's Pike Street, that's kind of near Layton Street, where it was designated to be a road one day, it just never was built out?
This is a different district. This, the three corner, if you look at the blue section, this is already located.
Okay.
And this is the section that hasn't been located yet.
When were those others vacated?
1958.
Okay.
So DJ and DJ is trying to build construction up here, so if we get this section located, they give them the whole road access. But in turn, we are requesting, we are asking them to have a right of way as well as easement, because our sewer line runs north to south.
Do we know in 58, when we gave up the other piece, why this wasn't included in that?
No. If you dig into the documentation, it says at that time, for some reason, this is the only section that was owned by the petitioner.
Any further questions?
This isn't necessarily the time to discuss it, right? This is just time for kind of incorrect questions. That's something.
Right. This is just explaining it, and then the purpose of this is the public hearing.
And I'm sorry, who's requesting the vacation? Is it the owners of 1630 Marion?
Yes. It's requested by... by DJ, it's DJ and Dan Cortes. Cortes?
Yeah. And then are they the owners of 1630 in Marion?
Yes, they are owners of Marion.
All right, we'll open this up to a public hearing. Persons speaking on the public hearing topic will be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. Written testimony sent to City Council by 3:30 p.m. will also be included in the record and gives the written testimony address. Okay, if there's anyone in the audience that wishes to speak to this vacation and this vacation only, you may have 5 minutes to speak. If we are asking you to give your name and address for the record, if you choose not to give your name or address, we cannot guarantee that it will be included in the public record. It is your choice. So if there's anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on this, they may speak on this by putting their hand up now. Go ahead.
I'd like to know if there are any backroom deals that have already been made on this, like we've seen in so many other projects. That's my question. I'd also like to ask why you'll never respond to us. That's my question.
Dan, did you add a comment to that?
No, I'm not sure aware of any backroom deals going on behind that.
What about cover-ups? We've seen so many of those already. Are there any cover-ups, Candy?
No cover-ups. No.
That's a question I have.
Excuse me. This is not an interrogation of the city or the city council. You may give your comments, and that is it. Otherwise, we will ask you to sit.
Sure, I'll talk about comments.
Go ahead. Say what you want on the vacation and the vacation only. And if not, you're welcome to resume your seat.
When are we going to get to really speak? That I'd like to know. And why did you shut us down? Because we uncovered so much corruption.
Now, thank you.
Right. Thanks so much. Corruption is going to come down.
You may sit down now. Mr. Olson, would you like to come up, please?
Real lot.
That's okay.
Could I get a little clarification where this is exactly? It's in between Mary's Avenue and Clyde Avenue by Peace Portal. So this is the map that will give you the exact location.
Is it
Peace Portal? This is Peace Portal. If you look at the cursor here, that's Peace Portal. And that is Bayview Avenue. And to the north.
So it's east of Bayview.
Yeah.
Is that a problem with the condition of the ground there? I know when they put in the small houses, we had to clean that all out, and it was all mud. Is this wet land over naturally?
Mr. Harmon.
Mayor, I would just encourage us to think about a dialogue here. This is a public hearing, a chance to receive testimony on the vacation.
So if you have a specific comment, we can clarify to you exactly after the meeting's over exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I was just concerned where it was located. I'm down in the neighborhood, so.
It is, you know where Mary Street is. So it's east of Bayview, so you know where Warren Street is.
And the only problem I have is that we block off views on every time you cross the street.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to give a presentation on the public hearing? Clerk, does that close the public hearing then?
If you want to, yes.
Yes, okay, thank you. The public hearing is closed. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. Approval of bills, $437,644.60. Approval of April 8, 2024, City Council Minutes. Resolution 1945-24, changing the May 27, 2024 City Council meeting to May 28, 2024. Approval of agreement with Kirby Communications for a communication program. WC3 contract extension for building review services in 2024 and purchase of remote control mower. And I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Seconder?
Second.
Moved Davidson and second by Hill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The consent agenda is passed 6-0. Moving on to council action items, we have, first of all, the interlocal agreement between the State of Washington Department of Health and City of Blaine for shellfish grant. Mr. Gandy, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is an interlocal agreement that we will be requesting city, authorizing city manager to sign with the Department of Health and City of Blaine. This is a fully funded project for the shellfish grant. For an amount of $192,500 funded by the federal government. So this will help in determining few tasks that we are requesting. There's a conceptual design of the outfall diffuser for the city of Lane, that's outfall, and evaluation of existing 400,000 gallon underground wastewater equalization basin for leakage. Preliminary searching study for an initial equalization basin, redundant disinfection analysis, and sewage inflow and filtration program development.
Are there any questions?
Yes. Mr. Gandy, which of the initial items were eliminated to get in within the cost?
Basically, there was nothing was eliminated. The only thing what was eliminated was this is just a study that has been approved. So there is nothing related to construction of any of the project. So this will only determine the study. So there won't be any construction getting done with these funds.
So all of that money is just for studying things?
Yes, that's only for study.
In regards to the finding,
they're not going to be changing the ends of the discharge pipes to?
No. So we'll wait for additional funds that will be released, and this is what UOH has approved right now.
Wasn't that part of the initial grant? Was that it was to fix that problem?
It's basically not to fix the problem. It was for a study, actually, to conduct the whole study.
Would this be a step towards that fix?
Yes, it will be a step. It will be the mine.
Mr. Harmon.
I want to clarify. The study is to determine if there's a problem. Right now, we don't know that we have a problem with our diffuser. That's the point of the study. To just study the drainage basin, look at our diffuser, look at our INI, and determine what are the most cost-effective, where we get the most bang for our buck, for investments into our wastewater treatment system. So we don't know that there is a problem with the diffuser. In fact, we had a diver look at the diffuser early last year, and at that time there wasn't an issue with the diffuser. But what the study will look at is, should the diffuser be bigger? Should the diffuser be extended out further in the bay? We don't know. That's what this study will look at.
Well, the beauty of it is freedom, right? So it's not like it's going to cost us anything. In terms of the funding, is this going to be a reimbursement or advanced funding?
It's a contract, so it will be reimbursement, actually. Whatever we spend, we'll get back money from the feds.
Thank you.
Will you be accepting the offer by the local knowledgeable people to assist with the studies?
So this is a federal funding. We can't accept free services for that. So we have to go for an RFP. So once the contract is signed, we'll go for an RFP, hire a contractor or a consultant to work on it. And they can actually work with the consultant, not with the city directly.
Okay, so they would contact the consultant and then offer their services?
Yeah, it's up to the consultant.
Okay, thank you.
Any other further questions? All right. If anyone would like to make a motion to move that we accept the interlocal agreement between the state of Washington and the city of Blaine. I so move. Second.
Second.
Are there any further questions before we take a vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the interlocal agreement has been approved 6-0. Second one, annual landscaping maintenance contract for Marine Park and Lighthouse Point Wastewater Treatment Plant. Mr. Gandhi again.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We did have a bid closing on March 24th for our annual maintenance for the Marine Park as well as the Lighthouse Water Park treatment plant for moving and removing the trash and maintenance of the park and wastewater treatment plant. We did receive 5 bids. The top 3 were from Clean Cut Turf Care for $27,200. The second one was MS NW Group for $48,764. The third one was Post Cares for $83,700. So the lowest bid was $27,200 for Clean Cut Turf Care bid. The two options, because the budget in the parks was only $15,000, but the bid came out at $29,648 with taxes. So the council has two options, either to accept the bid for $29,648, which includes the 9% sales tax. Since we have only budgeted for $15,000, the additional fund will be adjusted at the end, budget amendment at the end of the year, before end of the year, or you can reject all the bids and let us know what to do.
Okay, so, second. Do we have any further questions, Mr. Gandhi, on this?
Let's go.
I just have some clarification. I didn't hear the name Sturgill in there. So
it's clean cut, isn't it?
It's clean cut. They viewed it as a clean cut turf here. That was a company name.
Thank you.
How much of this potentially could be paid by the wastewater treatment plant through utilities funds?
Madam Mayor?
Go ahead, please.
The direct amount of the contract that is directly benefiting the wastewater treatment system. One fund can benefit another, and so the area directly adjacent to the wastewater treatment facility, some of the rubbish containers, the weeding of the flower beds, and that type of thing can be expensed to the wastewater treatment. The rest would go to the parks facility.
Do we know what kind of percentage we're talking for that, the enterprise fund?
Madam Mayor,
ahead,
we can look into that and we'll get an answer back to council.
In terms of the contract itself, is this evergreen or are we going to need to come back and rebid on an annual basis?
It's an only 1 year contract.
Is there a motion then to approve?
We'll make a motion that we approve the annual landscaping maintenance contract for Marine Park Lighthouse Point Wastewater Treatment Plant.
A second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Contract is approved 6-0. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam.
Moving on, we're going to commission, committee, and board reports. Before we start with any committee or commission reports from the City Council, I just want to make two announcements. One, there is a vacancy for in Whatcom County for a City Council member to be on the Whatcom Diversity and Racial Equality Committee. If any of the council members would like to be on that commission, the mayor from Ferndale is on that committee as well. So just let me know if you would like to be on that committee. I don't know when it meets. It's probably most of these county meetings seem to be by Zoom. And I can find out if you have any questions when it is, how many times it is. And there's also a vacancy with the WTA. If anybody's interested, you can come and approach me and bring that to my attention. Thank you. So does anybody on council have a commission, committee, or board report they'd like to make tonight? Okay, then we will move on to Public Works and Park Board meeting.
Thank you, Roger. Public Works and Park Board meeting met last Thursday. The only Burt's Bay Parks and Rec District representative sharing more. I did a presentation on the ranger course. So the board did approve the area where Birch Bay Parks Act Board is recommending the ranger course. So they wanted to go for more options to look where it would be more feasible and, you know, to get a good location for that. So probably next meeting they will discuss the location and then come forward with that.
Planning Commission meeting, Mr. Wenger, please.
Yes, Madam Mayor, our Planning Commission had a public hearing on April 11th on parking downtown zoning text amendment. We received numerous comments, and we've also received a lot of thoughtful written comments. All those comments, all the written comments received have been posted to our city webpage dedicated to this proposal. So some good information on the city's website. The Planning Commission continued the public hearing on parking for downtown to May 9th. And so the Planning Commission will be holding a continued public hearing on May 9th to talk about downtown parking. And we do have a number of other items queued up for our Planning Commission that they'll be discussing in the near future. Thank you. Any questions?
Would you say that the feedback you received regarding the parking, feedback that you've received from persons who don't own a piece of that property or are planning to build on it, that pool of feedback, would you say it is leaned one way or another towards whether or not the
parking requirements for building at that location should be reduced? Would you characterize it leaning one way or the other?
I would not characterize it. There were some pro and some con comments on the proposal. So.
I see. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to department reports. First of all, city manager.
I would like to get an update on the enforcement activities. I had requested that a particular property be approached because it is a health hazard, just is an abomination, and I'd like to know. I was told it would be months, but what's the current status? The property on Cedar and Garfield.
Well, we have a code enforcement update later in the agenda.
Okay, well, I have them all together here, so.
Okay, well, maybe I could answer that question when we get to that.
Okay. We'll start out with our department reports with city managers.
Thank you, Mayor. Today was our first meeting of our water adjudication process. It's going to be a long, expensive process for this community, unfortunately. So, because we have attorneys involved, the updates will be attorney-client privilege, and I'll be providing those, or John Sinkin will be providing those to you on a regular basis as we move through this adjudication. But just want to let you know that we're started, and hang on, because it's a marathon, not a sprint, on this particular project. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, Community Development Services Department, Mr. Winger, now you are up.
Thank you for your patience. I do want to report that we've had some success through code enforcement. We now have completed 4 voluntary corrective action agreements, and we've seen 3 derelict and dangerous buildings removed along Peace Portal Drive.
No,
we're very excited about that.
Could you please talk directly?
I will talk a little bit closer to the microphone. So with those 3 buildings coming down on Peace Portal Drive and yet a 4th voluntary corrective action agreement in place for another cleanup site, that we're making some good progress. We've had to prioritize these bigger enforcement cases over other enforcement cases, so we're going to be able to move on to the next tier of enforcement cases, such as the one that you asked about, Ms. Hurt, a moment ago.
They haven't been approached at all, then?
I'm not sure about that. So we've designated our code enforcement officer in the department, Jeremy Van Buskirk, and so I can check with him tomorrow and see where he's at with that. But my efforts have been focused on those 4 major projects that we're trying to get some enforcement within. So yes, we were able to get 3 of them taken down. So that was a big effort, and I felt fortunate to just work with those property owners through a voluntary corrective action agreement and not have to go to the hearing examiner. Any other questions about code enforcement before I move into tourism?
Madam Mayor, if I may, I would just like to remind the council that it's my role to prioritize Alex's work, and so where code enforcement falls in certain cases, that's the role of the city manager, not a particular council member per se, so I just thought it'd be a good time to bring that up.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead to tourism.
Yes, well, after a successful Wings Over Water event, we've got a number of fun items coming up, including a couple new events in Blaine. So May 18th will be the spring block party downtown, fun street closure and a block party. I'm just going to rattle off a couple of these here real quick. June 1st is going to be the Scottish Highland Games. First time in Blaine will be in Marine Park and on Semyon Spit, with athletic events on Semyon Spit in the private field over there at the end of Semyon Spit, and dancing and piping in Marine Park. So that will be a new event in Blaine. We're excited about that.
Is that an existing event that's moving here?
That is an existing event that is moving to Blaine, and hopefully stays in Blaine every year. July 4th, we're gonna have a new parade route with a parade going in the opposite direction, but the same great celebration, so that'll be a little different twist for the 4th of July. July 7th through the 13th is the Blaine Harbor Music Fest. August 3rd and 4th will be Drayton Harbor Maritime Festival, and then October 12th, Blaine Holiday or Blaine Harbor Festival and Oyster Fest. And all of this information is on blainebythesea.com. I encourage you to just check back in there. There's a lot of great, just, you know, what's happening this weekend, where can you can find music, and things like that. So I'm pretty happy with that website and how it's being managed by the Chamber of Commerce. And then our BCAC committee, Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee, is looking to meet on May 21st. And so we'll be talking about some of these items moving forward. So I'm going to give an update here in a moment on development, but is there any questions about tourism?
Yes. Where is the staging going to be if you're flipping the parade?
The staging will be down by 3rd Street, and I want to say Cedar off the top of my head.
Are you saying all the parade floats will be on the residential, like right down the middle of the residential street, not down like Peace Portal, for example?
They'll be staged over by the south end of Peace Portal. It's the same spot as the parade emptied out before. It's just going to go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, but that means that it's down, because that takes quite a few blocks to stage it.
We've looked at that, we feel like we can stack the staging differently with that street over there, so you can put three floats next to each other potentially instead of just stacking them all in a row. And we looked at this with traffic and public safety, and we feel like it's a much better plan.
Okay, so the residents you're not going to actually close off any streets so the residents can't drive to their homes?
I believe it's the same street closure, just cars and parade going in a different route.
It's probably better because we have the car show and the staging, where if we stage it at the other end, there'll be a lot more room. Because that's, to me, has always been an issue. All the cars are coming, it gets pretty cool. I never thought of that. It's a pretty good idea. Same exact thing, except it just goes the other way.
Yep, you'll just be looking the other way. So hopefully it's not that big of a change, but we should improve pedestrian safety and traffic circulation and congestion in there. We're hoping at least a little. Other questions about tourism?
Okay.
Well, just then I'll move on. Just wanted to give council just a quick overview of some of the development projects that we're working on. These are kind of the bigger projects that the planning is working on. A lot of these projects are going to come to council, except for this first one, actually. So the first one is, I'm just going to rattle off, I got about five or six projects here I just want to tell you about that we received recently. One is called Cedar Court Apartments. It's a little 8-unit condo building over here off of Cedar and Harrison.
Here's the mic.
Okay, yes, Cedar Court Apartments is a little 8-unit condominium. They have a caretaker's unit off Cedar and Harrison, kind of a smaller project that we're hoping to move forward as soon as possible. I believe we have a hearing scheduled for that next month. Up next is Mont Hill Overlook. That is at the top of H Street Hill. It's a subdivision. There'll be 54 single family lots in there. It's about 16 acres, and they do have some critical areas in there. But a new project at the top of H Street Hill with about 54 units. Both of those projects I'm hoping to move forward fairly quickly. A couple bigger projects, one is called Inverness. It is out the south end of Semiahmoo. It is 63 single family lots. It's on about 37 acres. And then we just received a couple bigger projects. One is called Avista. Avista has 5 different neighborhoods. In the first phase, there's 79 single family lots. Overall, the whole project is about 181 acres, and there's 490 total units in the project. That project is located basically right across from the golf course entrance. And we've also received Creekside by the Ridge, which is a manufactured home park subdivision, or a manufactured home park, not a subdivision. There's approximately 145 to 155 units. It's about 49 acres. And with some other amenities spread out throughout the project. In addition to that, we're also processing a land disturbance permit for East Maple Ridge Division 4. There's approximately 110 units in there. There were about 32 of those being multifamily and 78 single-family lots. So those are six projects that is keeping Community Development Services fairly busy, and we're hoping to be posting information on our website about those projects for everybody to see and the public as well. And actually, I just wanted to take this opportunity to remind Council of our ex parte communication no policy. So we do have a policy that the Council has no ex parte communication on these projects. So these are quasi-judicial projects. Council will be deciding on many of these projects, and so we ask that you not talk to your constituents about these projects. So if someone comes to you and says, I'd like to talk about one of these projects, please just refer them to Community Development Services. We'll have information on our website because you are the decision makers, and so we just want to make sure everyone has a fair opportunity to have their project heard.
Is there any restriction on council members touring the properties where such developments will be occurring?
I'm not aware of anything restricting council members to tour them, provided they do not access private property without permission.
Chairman?
Mayor is going to jump in and answer. If you're touring with a developer or you're touring with somebody else, I would recommend you don't. If you're touring on your own, probably fine. Just to prevent any communication with the developer or constituent or either somebody that's in support of the project or against the project could be considered ex parte communication and not part of the official record. So keep that in mind as you move forward.
So that concludes our Community Development Services report, and just we have a lot going on.
Mr. Winker, I'm just curious that of all those homes, I don't know if you know the total of them all, but it seems like many hundreds. Are they all predominantly three-bedroom homes, or are we getting a variety out there?
Well, a lot of these projects don't specify how many bedrooms they are. And so it'll be a single family lot. On that single family lot, you build any single family home with any number of bedrooms. Some of the other larger projects do have PUD master plans, and they call out a little bit more information. A lot of them are three bedroom.
Well, at this point, we're not sure how long all these projects may take to come into fruition.
We're not. It would be my goal to bring them all before council this year.
But one thing that I want to emphasize to Mike as well as the rest of the council is this is 800-900 units that we've got on the docket now, and it's important to be able to pay for all this. So when I first came into council, we were looking at a lot of growth, and the growth was like this, right? It didn't happen like this, but this was what we were anticipating. So I went to a number of different council members in different cities, like Ferndale, for example, and I said, how did you manage it? And they said, the hardest part is paying for it. So my hope is that we really lean on staff to make sure that our impact fees are where they're supposed to be, because the last thing we need is $10 million worth of new sewer, and we only collect $6 million. So it's just something that we've got to look at pretty intensely. So hopefully, Mike, that's on your agenda for this upcoming year. So, and Public Works as well.
Madam Mayor?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because we have the stage set perfectly to get our fees updated where they need to be. If you recall, we brought to you requests to update our sewer comp plan. Our water comp plan is under development right now. Our electric comp plan is under development right now. The council just approved a stormwater comp plan update. So suffice to say, all of our utility comp plans are being studied to develop a 10-year build-out, which include these estimates of growth. Why is that important? Because we take the cost and we estimate the cost of that build-out, and then we divide that up to come up with accurate general facility fees and impact fees. So it is very much on all of our dockets to bring you facility fee recommendations that include the cost of servicing the new development.
Great, thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Okay, Public Works Department, Mr. Gandy, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So From Public Works, we have two updates. Circus 17, we are having our pre-construction meeting on April 25th. And the phase one completion is on May 31st, depending on weather permitting. The second is Bobbridge Channelization. That's a federally funded and state funded project for us. We did prepare the bid package and submit it to WASHTOP last Tuesday. WASHTOP take around 4 to 6 weeks to approve the package. Once it's approved, it will go over for bidding. So we anticipate in a month and a half, we should be bidding on the Bobbridge Channelization project.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Gandhi? Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I am pleased to have started last week, so I've been here a week now, and it's been absolutely fantastic. And even though the community and the officers, I'm very pleased to announce that with Officer Cooper and myself joining the agency, we are now fully staffed. We have two people in the academy that are set to graduate in July. They're both doing real good down there. We're getting updates from those folks. And I'm just spending time orienting myself to the current state of various projects, policies, and where we're at with the state of affairs. And everything's looking really good. And I'd like to highlight the interim leadership that was shown by the officers that stepped up and kept everything afloat while we're waiting for my appointment. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. We have calendars to look at. And note that the May 27th meeting will now, I guess, move to May 28th. Is that right, Mr. Crawford?
That's right.
Yeah, now that we've approved that. Okay. Council on Finished Business, anybody? Okay, we have written public comment, as always. So check your mailbox for that. Council New Business and Dialogue. Okay. Mr. Gandhi, do you have photos for me? Okay, that's fine. I can do it without photos. I just make a comment somewhat directed at Fire Chief. The Department of Emergency Management, Amy's here. Department of Emergency Management in Whatcom County was able to, and correct me, Amy, if I make a mistake, was able to obtain a grant to get 6 or 7 trailers for emergency purposes that could be deployed right now to various locations throughout the county. So these trailers are equipped with a generator, with cots, with medical facilities like Band-Aids, and are there available for the cities to use in a disaster when, for whatever reason, either that lane is isolated because of the overpasses coming down, so we can't go north, the border will be closed, we can't go west, we won't be able to go east, and we may not be able to go south. We may be on our own in the initial stages of a disaster. Because of that, or if one of the other areas of the county has a greater need than we do, and the resources are then sent to that area. So while we are waiting for the Department of Emergency Management to come to us to our aid, we are trying to gather our police department, public works, fire department, voluntary organizations like the Auxiliary Communication Services, CERT, to be together, to be prepared, to be of some assistance in that time until we can get help from outside. And in order to help us manage that, this trailer, which is in the public works, will be a useful tool for us. So we are very, very grateful to the Sheriff's Department, Department of Emergency Management, for providing that trailer to us. So thank you. And that's all. Nothing further, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:10.